What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
We're back at it, Cover 4 Podcast with Grant Leonard, Ryan Ritter, Jason Crafty on the Boss Man Show with me, Jared, the Boss Man, bringing you this hot topics from college basketball coaches, seeing them in a new light, laid back, about talking about X's and O's all the time. What's up, G, Ron, and Jason? What's good, you guys?
Morning.
What's up, fellas?
What's good, man? New York is in the house. I'm here, ready to get after it, man, and have some fun.
No doubt, man. But first topic, man, we're going to talk about Bronny James, a slow start. Now, I know he was at USC last year, had a heart issue, and came back and just tried to play best he could. The Lakers with his dad, LeBron James, going to make history on opening night, playing together, first father and son. But as a basketball piece on the court, what are you all seeing of him as a player? And do you believe he should be in the G League more then he should be on the Lakers after the roster, getting reps and getting better down there with the South Bay Lakers?
You know, as a young player, probably almost every kid that gets drafted that's not a top 10 pick should spend time in the G League. And whether that happens or not because of, you know, his situation, we don't know. But, you know, for any kid who's, a late second round pick, the expectations for them to produce right away, especially for a kid who only played 1 year of college basketball, only really half a year, should be very minimal. And I know that he gets a lot of scrutiny because of who his father is, but like, we just got to give him time to develop. And you know, the problem is everyone wants to bring up, you know, nepotism, these other things. Like, who cares? Like, you know, there's plenty of coaches, there's plenty of other players they've gotten jobs because of who their family was, but he's going to need time to figure out who he is as a player.
I think, like, you know, first let's talk about LeBron James, right? LeBron is going to be 40 in December. Okay, I'm 39. I'm going to be 40 in November. All right, I have three kids that are 1, 4, and 6. So the fact that we're even having this conversation is insane. Like, not only is he still playing, he's still one of the best players in the world. And you know what? I love the NBA. I got the greatest respect for it. I'd love to coach in it one day. Like, I think it's awesome. But if he really said, "Hey, what's your opinion on Bronny James?" Guys, I have no clue. I mean, I really don't. Like, I think that if someone in the Lakers organization or someone there thinks he's good enough to be there, then hey, man, you're gonna have a hard time convincing me that they haven't earned that opportunity come opening night. And again, I said I don't know the ins and outs. I just got unbelievable respect from just not just basketball, from the whole thing of, man, it's incredible. We're gonna look back in 20 years and say, dude, were you around when Bronny and his dad were playing on the same court like that? Maybe he is second round pick. Maybe he should be in the G League. But the fact that we even get to have the conversation is like, that's amazing.
I mean, having coached in the G League for 1 year with the Philadelphia 76ers being around the Blue Coats and working with two-way guys and seeing that whole dynamic. I mean, from a basketball standpoint, he would benefit from the G League. He would benefit from being able to go down, play there, develop his game, work on his craft. He only got 1 year of college. We know it was injury-ridden and he had the dynamic health scare. But let's also be honest, this is great TV as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's not in the G League. And they're going to try to find ways to keep him up on the big team because how cool is it? And when will we ever see again two people, a father and son duo, on the court at the same time? And everybody that's mad about that, kid's never good enough to actually even step on that floor. So whether he's ready, not ready, whatever the case may be, I still saw him go with a right to left cross and go and finish in an NBA game. So like, how many of us have kids that could even touch the floor and do anything like that? It's an amazing thing to see. And I think it's great for basketball.
No doubt. I'm just surprised that our flare eyes. I'm the young dude, the youngest dude on the show here. I'm 37. I just realized
I don't know how I became like the oldest guy on the show. I mean, I didn't know Ryan was just going to drop the bomb and he's just turning 40 up in here.
that.
I mean, Grant, I'm 42. Grant, where are you coming in at right now on the roster?
I got you plus two. All right, we'll just leave the number out.
All right, because if I was going to be the oldest guy, I was getting a little concerned about that. I'm used to being the youngest guy in the room. Some kind of way times have changed.
I'll take being 37 and the baby here. I'll take that. Yes. Well, let me ask you guys, for you playing and coaching, what were some of your favorite road environments to go into to play in when you guys are coaching right now?
Well, I think for me, I got two of them. Obviously been blessed in a couple different situations. I think, when Chris Beard had it rocking at Texas Tech, that was a pretty big the year they went to the finals. I think we played them at their spot, and the whole show, it's sold out, it's booming. But I'll tell you my actual favorite one, no doubt, hands down, Bethune-Cookman at FAMU, man. You can't, I mean, it was blacked out. It's just, it didn't matter who was good, who wasn't good, where we were, first place, last place. I mean, it was the show to see. You had the band in there. I mean, it was, the energy was something that, it's why you enjoy college basketball. And I think if I'm correct, I think we came out on the right end of that, at least two out of three, hopefully three out of three. I'd have to go back and look, but man, that was just a memorable experience, Bethune-Cookman at FAMU.
I'm gonna throw a couple of layers here. So back when I was at Villanova, the Villanova versus St. Joe's rivalry is always a special one. They call it the Holy War. They had Jameer Nelson, Delonte West, an unbelievable team. That was pretty cool. Being at Navy and playing against Army was always a special game. At Maryland Eastern Shore, I think playing at I never got down to Bethune-Cookman. We never got a chance to go down there because of the COVID year. But I know you guys had some special games down there. I think at Norfolk State was cool. Norfolk State always had a great home environment. Dell State was a big time rival. But I'm actually going to go with the wild card. When I was Division II head coach, there was a school named Dominican College right up the street from our school. I played at Nyack College, and it was the head coach of Nyack College for 6 years. And that rivalry and that environment. It was a Division II gym, small, packed, people going crazy, stomping people on the floor. I mean, I just don't think I've been in some dynamic arenas and some dynamic places. The small college crazy atmosphere, though, on those games was dynamic. So I'm going Nyack versus Dominican.
First of all, I love all the HBCU love here, and I'm going to double down on that. But last year had an unbelievable opportunity to take our team to Duke. Obviously, Cameron was an amazing environment, and it was Christmas break, and it was still rocking, which was awesome. The uniqueness and the history there was phenomenal. But right down the road, Division II love, Winston-Salem State. And I don't care what anyone says, When you go to Winston-Salem State, that crowd sold out, okay? The step show, the DJ, the dance team, it is unbelievable. And I don't care what anyone says, you can't hear anything. The crowd is amazing, and you better hope that they don't dunk a couple balls because you can't control that environment. It is phenomenal. And so Winston-Salem State, by far for me, hardest place you could ever play, because it is an insane environment.
One in the OVC was Murray State. No matter who, when we played Murray State, it was going to be packed with all offense, Murray, Kentucky. And then we played a non-conference game. Coach Al took us down to play Clark Atlanta at Epps Gymnasium. And having the DJ, the guy going, defense, defense. Seeing all those students, it was crazy. Because now Tennessee State has a big arena, but the environment's not the same. That small gymnasium, Epps Gymnasium, was on 10. I was kind of a home game for me, so I enjoyed being in that environment because I had so much time on Clark's campus as a young man growing up.
Well, I think it's funny because we've all been in like some ridiculously wild environments, and all the coaches on here know when you got to play those money games. Like you just said, Grant, you played at Duke, we played at Duke, NC State, and all these places, Oklahoma and Stanford and you name it. We've been there, Baylor, but it's something about those small those small places that they just get so loud and the people like care so bad. It's just like it's a different type of environment, man. You got like the popcorn is like falling on you, the fans are on top of you. I never played at Rutgers, coached at Rutgers as a head coach, but as an assistant coach. But Rutgers has like that kind of small, that combination of small college but environment with a big college, obviously, name to it.
So this year we got to go to BYU, and even though there's no alcohol involved with that situation, I heard the Marriott Center is unbelievable. So we're gonna see how that goes this year.
Hey, when you play as JR, when you play as money game, many money games as we've all had to play, it's the whole reason people used to come to practice and be like, why you play music so loud in practice? Because we're preparing for all the loud
Yes.
and noise. It wasn't necessarily just for us to just have some beats in practice. It was like we would try to always create like loud atmospheres, whether you're playing a money game at a high major or you're playing in one of these, really intense HBCU environments with the band and the cheerleaders and the. We played at Morgan State one time. The Q Dogs came right out and was stomping with the Timberlands. I couldn't even get to the
Yes, and also one other quick thing about that. You have to make sure when you play these money games, the guys don't lose confidence. Because I remember being 4-9, 3-10, and knowing that the OVC plays what matters, not so much the money games we're playing to raise money for the school. So you can't let guys' mental get myself looking at the record seeing 3-9, 3-10, and 4-9.
No, you hit it right on the head, and I actually forgot, guys. I got to bring this up because we've all, you said we've done the money game things, but I forgot, man. This is my second or third year, and you guys know we do coaches versus cancer, right? And so we're playing at North Carolina A&T, and we're pretty good. I think we're probably second or third in the league at this point, and it was packed in there. So, I'm feeling fresh, man. It's coaches versus cancer. I got some Jordan 4s on in there. I walk in, I'm ready to coach, and right when I walk in, oh. Yeah, Justin Timberlake up in here. And I mean, I'm like, oh, really? Good one, guys. Like, that's that. And it was all night. It was Robin Thicke. It was Justin Timberlake. It was Tom Brady. And I'm like, guys, we're a basketball game, right? And I just remember leaving that thing. I'm like, that's pretty good. And we did not fare well in that one. Probably got my head. Couldn't coach the team. But that was probably actually the best in-game, road game experience we had.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
I hear that. Now, man, let's go to the next topic here. I'll cover four topics. What was a unique experience for you all in your childhood? And I'll go first and tell you is that I got a World Series ring from the Braves being a bat boy in 1995 and the Olympics being a runner in 96 in Atlanta. Those are my two.
Anybody want to take? Nobody wants to jump on this one. All right. I'll jump on it. So here's your favorite childhood experience, and let's. This was probably be a funny one. So this will probably age me a little bit too. So I'm at Stony Brook University with my dad. When I was a kid, I used to like to go to see like any type of basketball. It didn't matter what it was. So It was United States Basketball League, the USBL. And I'm at Stony Brook University. JR, I think I told this on one of your episodes during the COVID year. We were like finding something to do, and the season was canceled. So I'm in the stands and I'm watching. I got like this $2 program, and I'm looking at the guys. I'm probably 8 or 9 years old, and it's the Long Island Surf playing against like the Brooklyn Kings or something like that. Like that was the name of the teams. And there's this one guy out there. He's like diving for loose balls. He's taking charges. He's going baseline. He's dunking on people. He's making threes. And I'm like, who is this guy? He went to like a junior college on the thing. And I'm like, who is this guy that went to community college? It ended up down the line being John Starks. I saw John Starks diving and knocking over water coolers, getting technical fouls, dunking on people, making threes, smacking the floor. And I was like, this guy's amazing. He went to community college. This guy's amazing. He's the best thing ever. How's he not in the NBA? 2 years later, he was playing on the Knicks.
Man, he was a heck of a player, man. those Bulls, Knicks, people don't know. Like, I love when young players like, you know, Michael Jordan didn't face any competition. They have no idea what those series were like. Because growing up, I got to see it and how heated that rivalry was. And so I know how good John Starks was in those teams. He's a phenomenal player. And that's why, you know, everyone has their own perspective when young players want to talk about who the GOAT is. And I'm like, they never saw that level, you know, then. And so it's hard to compare the eras, but I struggle with that because they'll just say John Starks was terrible. And I'll be like, no, he wasn't. He was not a terrible player. He was really good.
Yeah.
So I definitely had a unique childhood experience. My dad, he cooked Cajun. He was a really good cook. And so he did all these like jambalaya, crawfish boils. And so in the neighborhood, we had a couple of Milwaukee Brewers that were young. Guys that just kind of like were coming up on their rookie contracts and they kind of placed them in our neighborhood. So all of a sudden my dad would be having these cookouts and the Milwaukee Brewers, like half their team would be over. And my dad became really friendly with Pat Listash, who ended up winning the 92 rookie of the year. And so I got Pat Listash in my backyard giving me hitting lessons. And then next thing you know, I'm at a Little League game, like a big Little League game, and there's Pat Listash and John Jaha and BJ Surhoff at my Little League game, and all my teammates are like, who are those guys? I was like, I don't know. But I really did know, but I just was trying to be humble about it. But it was really unique growing up and having the young Brewers around and then kind of getting to go to games and hanging out in the family section because they treated me like I was family. But more importantly, get to see their everyday experience. Like they hated doing autographs, but they'd sign them, right? And they'd try and sign them all at once. And so once I saw that, I never asked for an autograph again. And it's just unique seeing those guys, how they worked and then how they approached their daily lives. And it really was impactful for me. And I was so fortunate and I appreciate that. And, you know, full circle forward, Pat Listash is now the AAA coach here in Charlotte. And so he's right around the corner. So it's we got to reconnect, which was awesome.
That's pretty cool. Do you see Pat much at all or no?
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to not bother him. You know, go grab coffee or whatever. And you know, I told him just how much I appreciate how his family treated me. So that was really really you know neat. And they wanted to like the media for the AAA team, they wanted to film it. And I was like, nah, I don't want to do that to Pat. So, but it was cool getting to see him again.
That's awesome. So most of you guys know, I think all you guys know, my dad's still a college basketball coach. He's a Division II coach down in Florida. So I pretty much grew up in Florida, but I was born in Kentucky. And, you know, like if you're born in Kentucky and you don't like basketball, like I think they like kick you out of the state. Like you can't be there. So my dad was actually an assistant at Berea College when I was born, which is about an hour south of Lexington. It's a D3 school now, it was NAIA back then, but he was there as a player, ended up staying there for 12 years as an assistant. Well, when I was born, they didn't really have like assistant coaches that had salaries. So my dad lived on campus as a dorm director. So him and my mom, actually when me and my sister were born, we lived in the dorms my first 4 years of life. So I was like, think about this though, you're a 4-year-old kid, right? And I thought it was the greatest thing ever. So like I get out of the dorm, I go out in the front little patio, and everyone's walking through, and I got my baseball bat. I'm like, hey, you guys want to throw to me? So like the baseball players would come by, they'd pitch, and I'd hit balls, and then the basketball players would come by and be like, hey man, I got my little Fisher Price hoop, like y'all want to hoop? And so then I'd play one-on-one with the basketball guys. And at the time, like I don't know, I think this is the greatest thing ever. I got my little four-wheeler Jeep, I roll around campus, and so when we moved when we were four, they're like, all right, we're moving to Florida. And I just thought it was the disaster that I had to move out of a dorm to go live in a nice little house in Florida. But I don't remember all the details of it, but I do remember when I was almost five, and I just thinking every day I just thought my best friends were coming to come play with me. But little did I know, my mom and dad were dorm directors, and we were living for free on campus just so he could try to coach basketball. So that was pretty unique. I wish I would have probably embraced it more at the time, but pretty cool little grown-up story.
Man, that's
Trust
cool.
me,
I had to run a dorm for 2 years at Texas Pan American. It is a unique experience living in the dorm when you're a grown up. I can just tell you that.
Yes, 1,000%. 1,000%. That would be, what's now, is that now UTRGV, not G?
Yes, it
That's
is.
what I thought it was. Yeah, man. So, yeah, we go. Yeah, that's what's good right there, guys. Let's try this topic here, man. We'll go to G first in this one. What's your favorite throwback vintage logo or jersey, man?
Oh, it's no doubt. It's the old school Milwaukee Brewers jersey with the gloves. Those are iconic, and I grew up with it. And they went away from it for a little while. I don't know why, but they come back to it now. And those jerseys sell better than the normal ones. So for sure, it's the old school Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm going Pistons Grant Hill air. I like the teal jerseys. I remember them being specific when I went to the Basketball Hall of Fame. I fell in love with it, and I was like, man, Detroit Pistons, Grant Hill, teal jerseys. Need a couple of those.
Chicago Bulls throwback the number
Pinstripe.
23 Michael Jordan, the classic Bulls red jersey, color red. Yep, black numbers. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with this one. The Orlando Magic's first set with the O's with the Orlando on it with the star, the Magic and the blue pinstripe. That set was classic for life because I shouldn't say this as being a Hawks ball boy at the time. I was a closet Magic fan as a kid. So I love the uniform, the black, the white, and the blue. I love the uniform the Magic has. So I'm gonna go with the Magic on that one.
Hey, a little shout out to Tampa getting hit by the hurricane right now, but those old school Tampa Bay Buccaneers jerseys with the cream and orange, man, that was real.
Yeah, like good.
Yes, they were. Old Tampa Stadium. And we got time for an overtime topic, guys. Halloween's coming up here, Halloween costume. I'll go first on this one. I was Zorro in 1996 and won a contest as being Zorro. And we had a dance contest as well. And I won it as well. And I got a big old light up pumpkin that I don't know what I could do with it. It was just in the way. That was my prize. And I was Zorro in 97. That's what my favorite costume was that I won that contest with in 96.
I
Man,
want to hear that. Come on.
I'm struggling over here, man. I'm gonna let I'll probably be Batman.
Ritter, what you got?
Man, I actually got a great one. College, want to same. I don't know if I want a pumpkin, but I did win a Halloween costume contest. You guys ever watch Reno 911?
Yes.
Okay, so I didn't really watch it, but I dressed up as it, and it was elite, man. I had a strong mustache. I had some short shorts. It was I mean, I definitely played the part. Me and my now brother-in-law, he was not my brother-in-law at the time, and then my other backcourt mate. So we went and we probably had a good time that evening, and I think we brought home a Halloween prize by dressing up as Reno 911.
Wait, this is what I thought it was, what we would be. First off, Ryan Ritter should be Batman because he has the whole kind of like the he's the way his beard and the hair, he could be Batman. I thought this was what we would be. This is what we have been.
Yes, have been.
When I was a kid, we didn't have a whole lot of money when I was a kid. So I think I was like a robot. And like we used like tinfoil because we couldn't go get the costume. So I remember we had the worst costume of all time. I was a robot. I hated it. That we took tinfoil and I wrapped myself with tinfoil. The costume fell apart. It wasn't a very momentous day. I didn't win any prizes, Ryan.
Circling back to when I was at RGV, I did a costume contest. I was Ace Ventura, and I put on the Hawaiian shirt with the wife beater. I had the tutu and the cargo shorts, combat boots, and the football, and I just kept going like this all night. It was awesome.
You know what's funny though? I bet you a lot of these young kids don't know Ace Ventura.
No, they don't. Jim
Classic,
Carrey was on a
classic.
heater then between The Mask, Ace Ventura. He put out movies like four in a row that were just they were rocking. Dumb and Dumber and then Truman Show. Man, he was on a heater back then. That early 90s Jim Carrey was rocking.
I was The Mask in 1999. I was The Mask. That was one of my costumes. 99 was I was The Mask, so I had it going, man. So, my mom loved Halloween, so she made sure she got me all the different costumes because my mom loved to dress up. My mom is an AKA, so they those Divine Nine women love their costumes. Yes, sir. Now, hey, folks, cover 4 for October. We'll see you November. Hope you enjoyed this. We'll be back down the pipe.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. When the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.